do. We have been rejected before, and we don't like the idea of being rejected. But I believe the greatest fear in the world is loneliness, being by yourself. It's also one of the greatest problems that we're experiencing here in Fairbanks. As you know, that the vision team is coming together, and we've been interviewing certain people group, and we're trying to get a good idea of what is going on with the community, as well as hearing the needs of these people groups around us. And we've been listening very closely. We've been hearing some amazing things. And I think that most of you know Jim Williams. He's our elder. He's one of our ruling elders. He actually works for the borough, for Fairbanks Borough. And I interviewed him because he has a lot of statistics about what are some of the greatest needs within the community. And he shared with me, but he said one of the things that's happening that always happens around the darkness and Christmas is loneliness. Loneliness is one of the biggest needs, and many bad things happen because of loneliness. So we're going to be talking about that fear. And one of the first things that we need to know that God never intended us to be lonely. Never intended us to be lonely. By ourselves. We know immediately in Scripture, in Genesis, God says that God makes humans. What was the reason for making humans? Was God wanted a family. And in that relationship, God gives us this phenomenal awareness that God is with us. God is our Father. And we walk this world. We find purpose and joy because, sheesh, forgot about that. I think it sounds a little bit better. And that was God's gift to us. That was his plan. But we know sin separated us from this amazing relationship. This relationship that is filled with joy and purpose. And because of sin, people get into these great depths of loneliness. Okay? And also God says that it is good for man not to be. It is not good for man to be alone. He actually made others so we can have this family of brothers and sisters in which we will come together and experience this great joy with right relationships, but also we don't experience this loneliness, this aloneness. So what I'd like to do is talk to us about Luke 2:16 through 13, a great story, a beautiful story of Jesus Christ coming into the world, and was born and put into a manger. But also we have the story of the shepherd and the angels. We're going to talk about that for a bit. But you need to know at that time, even now, loneliness has always been the greatest fear for humanity. Being by yourself, even a lot of us here know that you can actually be in a community of people and still feel lonely. Especially what was happening with the religion and the Jewish religion back at the time. Legalism was the very thing that was stressed and preached upon the Jewish people through that community. The Jewish leaders set up all these rules and all these conditions. And the sad thing is, when you fail those conditions, you feel like you have been separated from God and there's no relationship. And so there's a sense of joylessness as well as loneliness. So here is this. And God has given us this beautiful prophecy for so many years that there is a God who's going to enter in the world, and his name is Emmanuel. God is with us. That is the gift that God gives us, as well as other gifts. So listen to the story again. And while we're there, the time came for her to give birth. And I know that Lynn is in the process, and others in that process of waiting for that birth. The anticipation is amazing. It truly is. And as being a father, it always excited me, definitely because I don't have to have to be pregnant, but more or less that I can witness my wife and what she's going through, but also that a child is coming into the world. It is one of the most beautiful experiences to witness and be a part of. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped up him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, the typical understanding of this is that Joseph and Mary were traveling, and they were slow because, you know, having a child. And they went to a place in Bethlehem, and they couldn't find a place like a hotel because all the rooms were taken. Well, that's not what it means. Okay, what this means is the word in, I think you heard this before. The inn was basically a place that's on top of the houses of all the people. And that was basically called a relative or a visitor's room. So everyone lived in the main house, but on top there was a special place for visitors and relatives to come in and live up there. Well, what happened was by the time they got there, because remember, they had many, many relatives in Bethlehem, that there was all those places on top of the homes were taken. So what they had to do, they had to bring Mary and Joseph into a part of the house where they had the animals, okay? So normally a Jewish home looks like this. You have the main feature where people live, but in the back, they have sort of a step-down place where the animals come in at night because the animals do something very importantly for people in the middle of winter. What does it do? It provides them warmth. So the animals will come in, and the manger was just a food trough, like we told, where you fed the animals. Well, that was the one place that was open for Mary and for Joseph. And there we were. We had a makeshift crib, and that's where the babe came into that manger, that place. So the shepherd and the angels. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold," I don't know if you always know it, any time an angel appears, you have great fear. There's something about that angel. There's something so overwhelming that everyone is fearful. And one day we're going to find that out. What was it about that angel that makes us so fearful of them? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. This is one of the very first places where you hear the word evangelism. Because good news means evangelical. Evangelism, the evangelists. And so we get this good news of great joy. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so in that phrase, in that whole phrase, that immediate phrase that came to the shepherd, something very short, something very amazing, something that will lock the ears and eyes of the shepherds to hear the wonderful news was, I will bring you great news, amazing news of great joy. Not great peace, not great love, but great joy. That's very important right now. A Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Now, I want you to know, for non-believers, for agnostics, for atheists, this is one of the most controversial parts is the Christmas story. It is one of the most hardest things for people to grasp and believe in. Okay, this is very difficult for non-believers. You need to understand how difficult this is. And see, the neat thing about Christmas, it always brings in us this amazing season, this feeling for non-Christians, because there's something very good that's associated with Christmas. The joy, supposedly, the gifts, the presents, family time. It is one of the biggest holidays in Japan, and they don't believe in Jesus Christ because there's so much goodness that can come from the Christmas season. They're looking for that goodness. They're looking for that joy. They're looking for something that gives them a sense of well-being in this world. And this is what is felt because we have a community in the USA that we go, you know, hog wild on making sure that everyone knows that Christmas is here. We do so much in the secular community to allow that because people are actually looking for the joy that comes with Christmas. Looking for family, looking for times in which they can take away their loneliness and be a part of something that gives them a sense of joy, a sense of closeness. Because they see it within the Christian community. They see that so clearly. They've even been part of it when they were growing up. They saw the beautiful coming together at Christmas. that maybe they never really grasped this concept of Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection. But they do understand there's something very good that's happening within the Christian community. And they want that. And they look for that. And they struggle because it never comes to them. This is where we get the word happiness. Happiness and joy are two separate understandings. Okay? Happiness is something I'm trying to do, some type of happening that will bring me some type of feeling of goodness. When you open presents on Christmas morning, especially children, and even I go hog wild, when I open the present, that happening brings me happiness. It's not joy, it brings me happiness. Joy is something else, something greater, something more wonderful. It is a being, a sense of greatness that kind of bears into your soul that all is well, that there is a clean and good, right relationship that I have with my Father in heaven and my friends around us. One of the very first things that is robbed from a broken relationship, one of the first things that happens when two people are divided, one of the first things that takes place is that your joy is robbed, completely robbed. When you were together and have a right relationship, there is joy. There's a great feeling of wanting to be together. There's a sense that there is good that's coming between the two. But when you're divided, suddenly that joy is taken away. It is an awful feeling. It's a terrible feeling. And what we try to do, because we value the relationship, we'll do whatever we can to make it right. We go to that person. We figure out how can we resolve it. How can we apologize? Because a joyless relationship is an awful relationship. So getting back to this controversial, there is a need in the non-believer, in the community of this world, to find that joy, that sense of well-being, that things are well with God and with others. So listen to this, to a non-believer. God planted a seed in a virgin's womb. That is crazy thinking. Okay? Then an angel came to Mary and told this Virgin Mary about the fact that she's going to have Jesus, the Son of God, come into the world. That's crazy thinking. Then an angel went to Joseph and did the very same thing. An angel did this. Then on top of that, okay, you got the angels out there, the shepherds out there, and you got angels coming to the shepherd in this grand night. That's crazy thinking to a non-believer. So what happens with the Christmas story, it becomes a great fairy tale. Something that they don't truly believe, but hoping that maybe in the midst of the season, they believe that they're going to find something, some type of feeling that it's so truly missing in their lives. When we are divided by sin from God, there is loneliness. There's a struggle to find joy. There's a struggle to find something in this world that can connect with, that I can have some type of joy, some type of guidance, but sin divided. So this theme this morning is very important. We are not alone. You are not alone. You're never alone. Even in the midst of loneliness, we are not alone. It doesn't mean that there's aliens out there on other planets. But it does mean this. We just came into a community, and Sophie is 9 years old. And Sophie is our first child. And Sophie is a very good soccer player, but also she's very shy. And so she tried out for a club team in Florida, which are pretty top teams at 9 years old. And Sophie had such a hard time with it. So I told her, Sophie, I just want you to go out there and try out for the team. Do your best. But I'm going to be with you right here. I'm going to be right here with you. I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to root you on. You don't have to feel alone. You don't have to feel that you're by yourself. Because these are new people, people that she has no idea who they are. But she always, when she was playing and working and trying out for the team, she always looked back to see me. It gave her confidence. It gave her strength. God made it very clear that Jesus Christ came in the world to be with us. And he gave us his Holy Spirit. This is such good news. Everybody here who calls themselves Christians and believe in the resurrected Christ, God says, I have given you my Spirit. And you will never, ever, ever, ever be alone. Never. Wherever you are. Even in the midst of a huge crowd, starting a new job, going to new school, and you feel you're so lonely, God says, you're not lonely. I am with you. I am with you. And I'll give you the strength and the courage, whatever you need, because I'm with you. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer every day engages us into this amazing, wonderful, loving relationship with our Father in heaven. That's why worship is so important. Because worship is not about sitting in the pews, listening to history, admiring the great music, listening to a pastor who has a frog voice. No, worship is about God inviting us into his presence. It's his plan, his timing. He set everybody up here to what? To be led by his Spirit, to present God's word. And so when we come into the presence of God on a Sunday morning, we are engaging into a living God who speaks to us, and we speak back. That worship reminds us of our need to daily meet God through prayer and through word. It is God's gift to us. So we are not alone. But also something else God did. You remember in the beginning, God says, man should not be alone. Well, guess what? He provided us with brothers and sisters in Christ. Being a part of the church community is not just about us having this wonderful connection with God and that now we're by ourselves and that we don't need anybody. God says, no, you are programmed to need me as well as you're programmed to need brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what the church is about. It's us coming together, not being lonely, being together, doing things together. And I want you to know, if you feel lonely in this church, for some reason, there are so many opportunities for you not to be lonely. One of the reasons why we have Christian education is not just because you're going to be educated through the Bible, but you have fellow brothers and sisters coming together, supporting each other, connecting with each other, and making relationships as well as learning from the Bible. Support groups, men's groups, all those ways. Choir. The choir loves singing together, but you know what they really love? They love the fellowship. You know, they had this amazing dinner last night, a little Christmas exchange. But that fellowship. So if you feel lonely within the church here, I want you to know that God has opportunities for you to connect and not be lonely. And we want you to choose those opportunities. And last week I talked about depression. Never promise me and promise God. If you're ever depressed and feeling very depressed, never do depression by yourself. If you do, you're going to become not only a target, but a terrible consequence. So promise to yourself, when you find yourself depressed and you're in a position where you feel very depressed, get with someone, talk to someone, get to a Christian brother and sisters, let them know, let them pray with you, let them be a part of your journey, because you can't do depression alone. And also God has given us medical psychiatric help to help us. Don't overlook those resources. Very important. But I want you to know, as I said earlier, there are so many people out there that are lonely. This is a beautiful time for God to call us to come to those people, listen, and talk to them. Reach out to them. I don't care who it is. Just get to them. Talk to them. And God will connect you, just as Philip. He'll connect you with an opportunity to love on that person, to talk to them. All Philip did, God said, I want you to go out there, stand right there by this person, and just wait. Get there. Get there. Be in that presence. Get to see that person. Listen to that person. And God's Spirit will lead you know how to talk to that person. So there are lonely people out there right now. Pray. Be led by God's Spirit. Because God truly wants us to take this message and use it in a way to let them know they're greatly loved by God the Father. That there is a reason why Jesus Christ came into the world, because Christ gives us joy because of the cross and the resurrection. And we have that joy. And remember, we are never, ever, ever alone. Let's bow our heads and pray. First of all, Father, I thank you so much for choosing us. Sometimes we take this for granted, that you chose me to be your son. Out from my darkness, my loneliness, my sinfulness. And you chose me to be your son. Thank you. And help us, Father, to always be mindful that you're always with us. And help us to engage every day with this amazing, loving relationship with you. And Father, also help us to hear, to look, to see people out there that are struggling with loneliness, struggling with joylessness. Help us, God, to stand next to them. Help us to hear. Help us to know them. And help us to pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen.